So here we are, Advent 2, time to reflect on John the Baptist as we progress through this Advent season. Why do we do this? Well, because he is the forerunner, and we call him the one who came before. Before what? He was there before Jesus, before all the events of that special time in Palestine happened. How are you for overtures? Now, I'm a great listener to Classic FM. I don't know if anybody likes to put their hands up for Classic FM.
Yes.
And I love an overture. An overture is a musical event, I think, and it gives excitement. I was listening this last week, and Spetner's Bartered Bride overture. Oh, it's got such a lot going for it. It really, really moves along. And it opens out the story of the opera that is to come. I also discovered that Tannhäuser, Wagner's Tannhäuser, is the longest overture in the operatic world. It's about 15 minutes. Now, can you imagine it? You sat there waiting for all this, it really, really builds you up. I just think they're exciting. I love a good overture. So a prelude, really, is similar to an overture, isn't it? It introduces the main section of whatever it is you're doing. It could be a prelude in a drama that gives you a little bit of what is to come, or in a book. There's often a page that's a prelude beforehand that gives you a taste. It's often something that happens in the future or in the past that's there to give you a taste of what's to come. And even news reports, a good news report. Good news report, of course, gives you a little bit of the actual essence of the story as a starter, just to tempt you to read further and discover more about it. A taster. Can you remember those days when you were told to write essays? Remember those days, essays? Well, I can remember you had to have an introduction, a main part, and a conclusion. And that was the way you did it. I don't know what they do these days, but certainly that's what I was always doing. And Matthew's Gospel has got the lot. It's got the introduction, the main part, and the conclusion. And the story of John the Baptist is exactly the same. That is the same too. And in my Revised Standard Version of the Bible, this passage is headed, John the Baptist prepares the way. John the Baptist. So what do we have? Well, actually, what we've got in this story in Matthew's Gospel, and it's different in the other Luke's Gospel, is it's a spectacle. A spectacle. Here is this man out of the desert, and what is he doing? He's telling the people off. He's telling them to repent. We all know that the word repent means Roman soldiers walk along there, repent, turn back. The crowd would have loved this. What could possibly come next? This, for them, was something that they were actually enjoying. And it's a preparatory statement, really, from Scripture that we have here. It is all about repenting. And John says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now, the people would know this word for word, because, of course, they were oral people. They didn't read, they hadn't written word to read. They'd learnt everything, but they'd learnt their scriptures. They learnt by rote. And they would never recognise this scripture verse. And then, of course, in Matthew's Gospel, we have a picture of this man himself. He's there in the desert. A man who's prepared to rough it. He's scruffy. He's out there willing to rough a life for what was going to come. So we've got the people there in the desert with this man, John, the spectacle. You have to admit that's what it was. And then there's action. People actually flocked, not only the few but more, flocked to him in the desert. And he kept telling them to start again, to repent, to put aside what has gone before. Was it entertainment? For a lot of the people, it would have been, because what else had they? They had their work, their home life, and that was it. They didn't have newspapers or TV or the rest of it, their phone or whatever. That was their entertainment. But John looks at them and spots a problem with the society in which they live. And this Matthew's passage is a real telling off. The problem with those who exuded power, the power people, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he turns away from the people to those who exuded power. And what a telling off he gave them. And in many ways, it punched above what would be expected. Oh, the people, can you imagine? Well, they loved it. It's not us, it's them. They're the problem. Not us, it's them. Or so John wanted them to think. But what follows is a time of renewal, or opportunity for renewal. And he gives them that opportunity that is not that old in the Old Testament. It comes through gradually as a possibility of repentance, and that is baptism. And that's something that, of course, we explore, the baptism of Jesus in the new year. But we're going to concentrate for a moment or two on John and his message. And what he's doing here in this passage is laying down the foundations of a seismic change in the life of the people. Then, and especially now, for the years and years to come. But what we have here is the fact that John is human. He's a cousin of Jesus, so we believe. There's family history of an earthly kind with John and Jesus. And they may very well have known each other. And different commentaries speculate on how well they knew each other. And we think of Jesus and John as being young men. They were, but they were mature in the vision of the people at that time. I often think about this when we think, how do we respect and listen to young people of the age of Jesus and John? In this day and age, politicians, councillors, or whatever, who knows. I'm always reminded of a phrase, something I heard. At the time of the French Revolution in 1789, which is not that long ago, the French people thought they were doing very, very well in life expectancy. Because life expectancy, which was good in France at that time, was 29. John was a mature person and had the respect of the people. He was not young. He was young to us. But at the time, he was a mature person and he had that respect. He had something valuable to say and the people listened. And what he said was simply this: one would come greater than he. And he was indeed preparing the way. And the story of John in Matthew's Gospel there talks very much about earthly things. John, human, there on earth in the desert and all the rest of it. He talks about who warned you of the wrath to come. You were warned, but you didn't take heed, he said. You've got to do now. What's going on there? These people, of course, were an agricultural society. And he starts to talk about the things that they knew perfectly well, lots and lots about. About physical things that would resonate with the people that gathered. He reminds them of Scripture, about stones which children of Abram will be raised up to be like. He talks about an axe falling to the roots of the evils of society. He talks about trees that don't bear fruit and will be cut down and destroyed because they're not prolific. There's talk of winnowing forks and a threshing floor, all very, very familiar to the people. And then he goes on to mention wheat and chaff, it was mentioned there in our Advent liturgy earlier on. And finally, the very earthly thing that John speaks about is water. And John uses this as a stream symbol. Crowds knew all about these things, about stones, about trees, about axes, about winnowing forks, threshing floors, wheat and chaff. But then John introduces them to something that is entirely different, something that is unknown, something that's untouchable, that's not part of their everyday experience. He introduces them to the Holy Spirit. And here we have the heart of this message from this gospel. John lists those material things of the day, but then he introduces the Holy Spirit. We too can concern ourselves with the importance of everyday needs. Where's our food coming from? The water, heat for our homes, clothes that we wear, comfort, medication, transport, entertainment, family, friends. There's nothing wrong with all that. These things are our lives and our way of living. They sustain us in this present time. Those are our winnowing forks and all the rest of it. But there is more. There is more. And we too can't actually physically see it. And the power is also, or could be, elusive. But it's what we're here now preparing for. And it's the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've sung about it. We acknowledge it, but are we aware of it? In Jesus we have God, the greatest gift, and through him is the possibility of the power of the Holy Spirit for our lives. We could be like John and spot those who cause the havoc in our world. But it's not a spectacle for the TV and news pundits to wrangle over. It's for us to be aware of and wonder what can we do. We may feel absolutely powerful, but this Advent season builds up to something wonderful. That baby in the manger grows up to be this man who spoke out and helped others to acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have in our lives. And it's a reality that needs to be powerfully addressed. We are the followers of Jesus. We have the power, folks, the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us. We spoke about it as a gift at the beginning of the service. When did we actually last share that gift, that power that we have? Perhaps it's something that we have forgotten we have. Perhaps if you were able to have a conversion experience of the power of the Holy Spirit coming with you, not everybody does, but there's something there that is life-changing. And this passage with John, as he went into the desert there and out to the people came to him to hear. We too are encouraged, aren't we, to have the courage to share that wonderful gift. So here we are at Advent and Christmas, the perfect time to share. We're bombarded with all the other things we can share, all those gifts we're supposed to buy for people, all those cards that probably we don't bother about sending these days because it costs too much money, all that food. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, how wonderful that would be for this world and for those who we live with too. John prepared the way, but we are more than those in the desert. We are more. We are the conclusion to the story, working in the world. We are that conclusion, out there with people, being Christ to the world, powered by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the continual challenge that your Bible brings to us. Many times we want to sweep it away because it seems too much for us. Help us to pray and to ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to work through us in all that we meet, no matter where it is this coming week. And we do thank you for John the Baptist and what he has taught us, and the way in which he has helped us prepare for your coming. And we thank you for the way in which you have sustained us throughout our lives, and that you know each one of us, know our needs, and know what we are capable of. So we thank you, and we give you praise. Amen.